24, I want to read a few verses with you. It says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Let's give the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, bless your word now. Lord, I just pray that you'd just convict, Lord, this morning. Lord, where conviction's needed, comfort where comfort's needed. Lord, only you know what the hearts need, Lord. And only you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and through your word, can take care of these needs. And Lord, I pray it be seeds sown on good ground. I pray the hearts are prepared. And I just pray, Lord, that you would do a work here this morning. If anybody's lost, help them come to be saved, Lord. And those of us that are saved, help us, dear Lord, this morning, get closer to you. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I want to speak to you this morning on a picture of a first love. Picture of first love. You know, the Bible talks about going back to your first love in Revelations and things like that in Revelation. And what happens is, it's like one man said, the heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. When you got a problem, it's a love problem. Well, you're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and all thy mind. Now, if you've got a problem this morning, it's a love problem between you and the Lord. And you need to get back to the first love that you had with the Lord. And what you have to do is, you have to go back and remember some things. Now, this is how you don't want to be. I heard a story about a couple. They've been married about 50 years, and so they kind of got a little to where they couldn't hear so well, you know. They're riding down the road, and the husband says to the wife, he says, "I'm proud of you." And she said, "Hey?" And he said, "I'm proud of you." And she said, "I didn't get it." He said, "I'm proud of you." And she said, "I'm tired of you too." You can't be like that. You can't be like that. You got to be close to the Lord. It's supposed to be fun. Y'all, I'm going to tell you what. I pity the people who don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? They're missing out on abundant life.
Yeah.
Sometimes you tell people you're Christian, tell people you're saved. Oh. Mm-hmm. Almost like I'm missing out on something in life. No, they're the ones missing out. I guarantee you, they're the ones destroying the heart, mind, and soul. And I'm having fun serving the Lord. Y'all, you're not missing out on the thing. People, you know, I gave up so much. You know, no, you didn't. You gained. You gained with the Lord. You lost out on the thing. Man, I gained it all with God. Ain't it a blessing? Now the thing is, we've got to remember that there's pictures in the Old Testament that we can see because of the Pauline epistle. The mystery was revealed to Paul, and now we can see these types and pictures throughout the Bible. And I love these pictures. The Bible says in Romans 15:4 that these things were written for our learning and our admonition through, so that we can have patience and comfort for the Scriptures. So we're to learn from these pictures. Now, what you're going to see here is you're going to see a type of something here that pictures what we got now. Abraham is the father.
Yes.
Now, you got father here, Abraham. Guess what he does? He tells his servant, and we find out earlier that his name's Eleazar, but he's not mentioned here. We'll go over that line here in this little while. He tells his servant, "Go down and get a bride for my son."
Yeah.
You know what you got? You got a picture of God the Father.
Amen.
Telling the Holy Spirit to go down and get a bride for His Son. That's what's going on right now. We're the bride of Christ if you're saved. And guess what happened? The Father has told the Holy Ghost to go down and get a bride for His Son. That's what the Holy Ghost does. That's the program for this age. Why He's calling out a bride right now. So you know what we can do? We can examine ourselves by remembering a picture of what first happened with the meeting with us and our Lord right here in the Bible.
Amen.
So we can prepare our hearts for this right here.
There you go.
Why? You think about this right here. The Bible said in Psalm 70, I like some of these titles and things, you know, at the front. And I was reading in my Bible, and it said in Psalm 70, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance That's what the song is about.
Yeah.
The psalm is about bringing to remembrance. You know what? It's good for you to go back and remember. You know, if you read that Bible and you get coming through songs and stuff like that, and the Lord keeps saying, it almost gets on your nerves. I brought you up out of Egypt. You read over here, I brought you up out of Egypt. Remember that, don't you? And I brought you up out of Egypt. Why? And she keeps saying, I brought you up out of Egypt. He's reminding them where he brought them from. Sometimes you got to be reminded what God brought you out of there. You know, sometimes you'll be doing something somewhere and something you're not supposed to be doing. And God said, I brought you up out of Egypt.
Right.
Out of the house of bondage, you remember what had you held down? I brought you out of that.
That's right.
And that, you know what that'll do? That'll bless your heart. Why? You remember where you were? Why are you trying to go back down there with Pharaoh? All the time in the Bible, the Lord would say, don't go back down to Egypt. And if you notice in your Bible, you go home and study your Bible, and every time it mentions Egypt, it'll say they went down, down, down in Egypt.
That's right.
You'll notice it says Samson. You know, whenever he's getting away from the Lord, it says he went down. He went down. When you read about Jonah, guess what? Jonah went down, and he went down, and he went down. And then whenever he got back in fellowship with the Lord, he comes up. He comes up.
Yeah. See,
there's a thing there. Wow, you remember where he brought you from. Now you think about this right here. We're supposed to be examining ourselves this morning. This Lord's Supper is about remembering, as often as you take it, remember what the Lord done for you, and guess what else too? Remember, he's coming back. It's a table. It's got two ends. He's down here at Calvary on one end. You look back there and see that. And I'm looking forward on the other end to his coming.
Amen.
Why, as often as I do, I think about that. Why, the one who did that is coming back one day.
Yes, sir.
And guess what? You got to go to the doctor, the great physician, to get an examination. You know what amazes me? The Lord's got all kind of pictures. Why? So the common man can look at it and see how he deals things. Now, when I go to the doctor, it amazes me. It's a picture of how the Lord deals with it. No matter what you got, the doctor say, stick your tongue out. Now hold on, man. My belly's hurting. Stick your tongue out. Yeah, you go to the great physician, checking your tongue. Out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaking. Guess what else he'll do?
Yeah.
You go to the doctor, you know what he'll do? I don't know why. I don't know. He knows what I weigh. He knows what's the matter what I weigh. Step on the scale. There I weighed and found one.
Yeah.
Now my stomach's hurting, Doc. Hold on just a minute. Let me check the ears. Still look at my ears. What you been hearing? Mm-hmm. Examine. See, you get an examination.
Right.
He sees your balance. How what you balance. See, a false balance is abomination to the Lord's eye. You weighed. The doctor weighed. You got all these pictures there. And you know what we're supposed to do? Take remembrance there, and we're supposed to weigh ourselves out and see. I had something else too. I thought about this too, about that examination. He always checks your heartbeat.
Yeah.
He puts that thing on it. Well, you're checking your heart. That's what the physician's doing. That's what you got to do. Check yourself. This world nowadays, everything's just supposed to be hunky-dory. I'm all right, you're all right. Hey, 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 you know. Look, folks, we got to examine ourselves. Well, people don't want to mention sin nowadays. It's only getting to where not even mentioned. I'm going to tell you this. I talked about it in Sunday school. A preacher don't preach on sin, don't love you.
That's right.
Because the Bible said that Christ died for your sin.
Amen.
Why? Because, y'all, I'll tell you what. Sin, even after you're saved, guess what happened? Your sin will keep you out of fellowship with the Lord.
That's right.
And we got to figure out, you know, the thing is, people, I don't want a dogmatic preacher now. You want a dogmatic doctor?
Yeah.
You want a doctor to come in and take you right what's wrong so you can get it fixed. But now, preachers don't do that now. Don't let some preacher and got the medicine now.
See, the thing is, y'all, we need to examine ourselves. This story is a good thing to do it with. Number one, I want you to notice the servant's charge. The servant's charge. In verse number two, he was supposed to go get... Abraham told his eldest servant, that's the servant right there, he's spoken of as a servant, the Holy Spirit spoken of as a servant there, in verse number 2. In verse number 9, it says this, and the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. Why? He's supposed to go down and get a bride. So the Holy Spirit is a servant. You know what the Bible says? 1 Corinthians 12:11, you don't have to turn there. We're going to turn to John here in a little bit. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. The servant does things. He's a servant. And you know what? When you get saved, you got gifts from the Lord, and the Holy Spirit divides out those gifts. Everybody in here has got something that God has given you to do. And you know what happens? People just take the gift and just put it in your pocket. Don't ever do that with it.
Amen.
That's just amazing. You imagine a man give you a pocket knife. I like knives. Man give you a pocket knife, he don't ever even do nothing with it. Take the thing out and use it, man. It's given to you.
Yeah.
We got gifts from the Lord. Some of you are great listeners. Some of you are great talkers. Some of you might be able to knit. Some of you can sew. But somebody in here has got something that God has given for them to do. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to serve. Just like the servant. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the servant, we're supposed to serve.
Right.
Now, that servant goes out, and guess what? The Bible says he's supposed to get a bride, and you're going to notice that it's a Gentile bride. Verse 3 and 4, he said, go out and get a bride. You know what we are? We're a Gentile bride. You know what the Lord Jesus did? You read in the Gospels, and the Bible said he came to the Jews. The Lord Jesus said, I'm not sending them these, but them to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's coming in preaching the Jews. Guess what? The Jews reject him when he comes. So you know what he says at the end of Acts chapter 28? He says, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it. That's today's program. You can look in your Bible at Acts 15 verse 14 and people make it all what they want to, but you can't, they take the Bible out of context. You know what God's doing right now? God's taking out a bride for the son. Why? Because the Son is supposed to get all the glory.
Right.
You know what? For us, Calvary is the greatest day.
Amen.
But you know what? For the Father, the greatest day is going to be when His Son comes back.
That's
coming. Look, for us, we think, because we're thinking, man, I got in on it, Calvary. Do you think the Father got pleasure out of seeing His Son being whipped and scored and beaten and hung up on a tree? My friend, that cross right there was agonizing. But one day, the Son is going to come back and He's going to get glory. All of them. It's going to be glory. He's getting a bride out for the Son. That's the picture right here. Notice, not only the Holy Spirit to serve it, but He comes in the name of the Son. Now, turn to John chapter 14. Hold your place there. We're going to come back. We're going to come back to Genesis, but I want this is a very important part here. He comes in the name of the Son. If you'll read that scripture there, when he goes out and gets that bride, he never speaks of himself. He always brags on the Son. That's very important. Why? Because you know what? You got a thing going on today that's unscriptural. I'll show you here. I'll show you what it says in the text. He didn't speak of himself. He came in the name of the Son. John 14, verse number 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. That's after Calvary. He's going to send the Holy Ghost. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So, he don't speak of himself. He brags on Jesus Christ. Look at John 16. John 16. Watch this. And we'll tie this together. John 16, that servant, when he came down, he was just bragging on the Son, bragging on the Son, bragging on the Son. You know what we're supposed to do? Brag on the Son. John 16, verse number 13 says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, now watch this, He will guide you in all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. You know what? You got this movement nowadays. They talk about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. And that's the one, and all these gifts and things that they have, and that's the one that has the less of them, and that's the one that's not filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Holy Ghost brags on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're in a place and they're talking about all the gifts that they have and all this stuff right here, that's a baby. Why? Because you know what? Carnal Christians always talk about what all I can do. If you talk about, if you ever see kids very much, look at me. That's what that stuff is today. Y'all, I'm telling you, that's dangerous. Why? A Holy Spirit brags on the Son.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit's bragging. You know, if you want the Lord Jesus Christ to be here, brag on Jesus Christ, not yourself.
Amen.
You know what? You know what amazes me? These people talk about all these gifts they have today. Alright, now you think about a Christmas tree. The Bible talks about men like trees in Psalms. Alright, so all through the Bible, men are like trees. Well, there's a tree that sits in your house. Most of you probably got one right now. It's dead. And it's got gifts all under it. And lights all over it. It sure is pretty, ain't it? But guess what? That thing's dead as a doornail. It's got gifts all under it. You know what the Lord's trying to tell you? Some of the most deadest people around are folks talking about their gifts. You got to be careful that stuff winds. The Lord Jesus Christ is supposed to have preeminence. If the Lord gives you a gift, it's not so you brag on yourself about it.
That's right.
It's supposed to be so you can magnify the Lord Jesus
That's
Christ.
Right.
It amazes me. Some of these people brag on themselves, and it's like the Lord's on the inside of it. You know what it'd be like? It'd be like me handing somebody $1 million in a brown paper bag. People saying, look at this paper bag. Isn't that a bag? That's a wonderful paper bag I got. Have you seen that paper bag? You're bragging on the wrong thing. The thing that'll be bragging is what's on the inside.
That's right.
I'm telling you, it's the inside thing. This whole outwardly, worldly thing that's going on, I'm going to tell you something, it's not of God. The Holy Spirit, He comes in, His type right here, He's bragging on the Son the entire time there. Now guess what else too? It's after the finished work of the Son. Whenever this takes place, guess what? Isaac, the type of Christ, Isaac in Genesis 22 had already been offered. It's after the offering up of the Son before all this happened, right? The Son had been offered up, see? Isaac had already been offered up in Genesis 22. And after he had offered up, then you got this thing happening right here with the bride. That's amazing how the Lord guards His types in the Bible. My, what a story right there. What a wonderful book that we can go to and see this thing here. I want to show you something else too, the selection in Genesis. Now hold your place in John. We're going to come back probably here in a little bit if I get time. But maybe mark it with a piece of paper or something. But I want you to notice not only and He came in the name of the Son and after the finished work of the Son, but also the selection in verse number 16.
Amen.
This selection here says, it says in verse number 16, and the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. Guess what? We're a virgin. Pure. Look at this thing here. And she went down. Watch this. This is bad important right here. The one who's you. She went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. She went down first and come up. You know what? The God's order, the way up is down.
That's right.
And the way down is up. If you say, I'm going to go up, God's going to say, no, you're going to go down. The way down, she went down first. She's watering, she's working, she's doing something. That's the bride of Christ. We humble, we go down first, and Christ can lift you up.
Amen.
Right there in the text. It's got to be humility, got to be humble. Look at the selection of the one He selected. She's humble. He found one that would go down. Folks, this thing today, lifting man up. Man is the measure of all things. Oh, no, you're not. You can't measure up the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, this world can't measure up to Christ. You're nothing without Christ. Your life is nothing without Christ. This church is nothing without Christ. This world is nothing without Christ. When you lift up Jesus Christ, that's when things start to take place and be good.
Amen.
Now, you think about this. Nobody else saw anything in this damsel. But guess what? The Holy Spirit saw something in her.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit came down and He starts bragging on the Son. Guess what? This world may not see much in you. But the Lord sees enough in you that long time ago, He knew you before you was ever born. Long time ago, He sent His only begotten Son down to die on the cross. He loved you enough to die for you.
Yeah.
Now you think about this.
Yeah.
If you want to know what something's worth, you just find out what somebody paid for.
That's right.
Now you think about this right here. What are you worth? Enough where God will send His only begotten Son to die for you. Y'all, that's wonderful.
Yes, it is.
That's wonderful.
That's right.
Man, she's out here by herself. I wonder if anybody cares about me. Well, the Lord cares, and He sent the Holy Spirit down. He sent the servant down to get you. Isn't that a blessing? The selection. Now you think about that type right there. I think about this. Every woman wants a man that would die for her. Adam died for Eve. The Bible says in Timothy, Adam was not in the transgression. Eve was in the transgression. So guess what? Adam comes down and he sees Eve no longer has whatever that glory they have. They just talked about in Psalm 104, they had a covering of light. And so Adam comes down there and he said, uh-oh, Snow White's rose red now. What's going on now? He said there was a change. And he sees she had eaten that fruit. Oh no. You didn't eat that fruit, did you? Yeah, I did. You know what he did? Give it to me.
Did it?
Fruit. He died for it. He died for it. That's the type right there. The last Adam come down. He seen what you've done. He seen you was born in that. You know, there was no hope. You had a death sentence on. And he said, I'll drink the cup.
That's right.
I'll drink the cup, my friend. And he went down and he took that cup of the wrath of God. And God poured his wrath out on the Son for you. Why? Because he cared for him.
Yeah.
That's a Savior.
Yeah.
That's somebody worth bragging on right there.
Amen.
Man, I tell you what, this world's got the wrong hero. This world will brag on that prodigal and brag on the prodigal. Let me tell you something. The hero in the story of the prodigal son is the Father.
Yeah.
The Father took him in.
Yeah.
That's the hero. Man, that's our Savior. That's our God. He's worth serving. When the Lord Jesus Christ gets back, he's a man of men.
Yeah.
He created me. And man, we're going to be serving a man. Pilate said, behold the man. Well, he seen him take that beating right there, and that story fascinates me. Pilate was a man. He had seen a lot of men take a lot of beatings. And buddy, when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ take that beating, and he seen him stand there and look him in the eye and tell him, basically, you rejected the truth.
That's right.
Pilate said, wow. He was impressed.
Amen.
He said, behold the man. He's the man. And I'm serving the man. I'm preaching about the man, Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
One of these days I'm going to see that man. Why? He sent the servant down. Man, that excites me. Why? I'm serving a living, risen Savior. And he'll energize you and excite you.
Yeah.
I've got something to be excited about this morning. Not only, number one, the servant's charge, but look at the picture of conversion. Picture of conversion, verse number 11.
Yeah.
I like it, man. I like the Bible. I'm telling you something. You delight in the Lord will delight in you.
That's right.
You know why folks ain't getting delight? Because they're not delighting in the same thing God's delighting in. Man, you want to delight in the Lord, find out what delights God and get in on it. And man, you get some joy unspeakable, man.
Right.
This old earthly body can't hold it all in. I'm going to have a new one one day. And I'll soar out beyond yonder somewhere and work for the Lord. Man, it'll be up from now on. Man, this old body right here, it can't fly, and it can't walk through doors, and it can't handle that meal. Man, you think about your favorite meal, and the Lord come down in his glorified body, and John 21, he sat down and ate with him. You know, he wasn't hungry. He just wanted to have fellowship.
That's right.
We're going to sit down at the table one of these days. It's going to be sweet now all around.
Woo.
My friend, I got something to look forward to. I love knowing it. I want this old lost world to know, brother, if you don't get in on Jesus Christ, you're missing out on it. If you go to hell, you'll never forgive yourself. If you go to hell and die without Christ, you'll lay there and you'll burn forever and you'll never forget. The Bible said that rich man remembered.
That's right, brother.
The Bible said, he said, send somebody to witness to my brother. The Lord said, they got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.
That's right.
You know what? You got the Word of God. You don't believe the Word of God? That thing, how could a man write a book like that? You won't believe that? You won't believe that one rose from the dead? Man, believe the Word, the picture of conversion. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, it says, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water. Man, that's a picture of salvation. Why? Isaiah 12:3. Now you don't have to turn there. It says, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells. Out of the wells. Why does he say it's a well? He's pointing to him. The Lord Jesus Christ, being weary of his journey in John chapter 4, comes and sits down on the well. Why? He's just hoping somebody's been reading Isaiah. And he's saying, this is me. Why, well, you just keep on. And it's not just a well, it's many wells. You just keep on pulling that water. And just keep on, don't run out. Why? Not just one, it's many. He's pointing to the plenty he's able to offer you.
Yes, it is.
Brother, the Lord Jesus Christ to offer you something this world can't offer you.
That's
it's plenty. It's wells. Not only that, but it's a picture of Scripture.
Right.
He said it was a well of water. You know what your Bible said in Ephesians 5:26? Speaking of the bride of Christ, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water, by the Word. The Word of God is like water. It'll make you clean. You take a physical bath every day, why don't you take a spiritual bath in the water of the Word of God every day?
Amen.
And you wonder why you get your life gets to smelling bad, stinking, so to speak. Why? You need to bathe. It's time for a bath.
Absolutely.
It's time for a scripture bath. You know what? Sometimes I bless you. Just get in Philippians and Galatians and Ephesians. Just water around in it for a little while. Just get in the tub. You know, sometimes people like to soak, especially after you're tired. Just soak. It's different from a bath. It's different from a shower. Just get in and soak. Soak in the Scripture.
Yes, it will.
And it'll bless your heart. There's a picture there of salvation. Not only that, there's a picture there in free will of getting saved. I like it. Why? Because the Bible says it's free will over and over and over. Some of these people try to make out like God. We're going to look at verse 8. Make out like God's up there like a puppet master just pulling it and making you do this and that. That's not biblical.
That's right.
Man, I'm telling you something. This stuff that comes in, they got a God out here that's going to force this one to do this and force that one to do that and force that one that he's going to be saved and he's going to be lost. And I'm going to make this one be... Y'all, I'm telling you something. That's not the God of the Bible.
That's right.
Let me tell you, you're going to find out when you read the Word of God, don't force you to do nothing.
That's exactly right.
God can't force you, and He won't. He could, but He will not force you to do good, and the devil will not, can't force you to do bad.
Right.
Why? You got free will. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, that He made a way of escape for you.
Yes, He did.
Now, you watch this free will right here. Verse number 8 says, and if the woman will not be willing, see, to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. Now turn to verse number 58. Now hold on a minute. Don't read verse 58. Just turn.
Amen.
Let me tell you what the Holy Ghost is doing right now.
Yes, right.
He's coming around through here.
Yes.
And he's saying, will you? You got free will. If any man do his will, it says in John 7,
that's right.
He shall know the doctrine. You have got to make a free will choice of whether you're going to choose to go with this man. He comes down, and guess what? The Holy Spirit, He's coming down, He's offering you the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what that Bible just said?
That's right.
Just said, if she don't want to do it, you're clear to go.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is not an obligation to keep striving with you.
That's
my Spirit shall not always strive with me. People say, I just keep saying, if I want to, hold on just a minute now. Show me that verse in the Bible.
Yeah.
The Bible said He's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that you should perish, but guess what? You can't force the God to convict you.
Right.
Let me tell you something, you're not going to get saved without getting convicted first.
Hey.
That's not biblical. Every time in the Bible you got to be convicted. Now you know what happened? You'll sear your conscience, you know what?
And
you'll still be dealing with it. You done seared your conscience so much you can't hear anymore.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Why? He speaks in a still small voice. Why? Because he don't have to raise his voice.
That's right.
The Lord speaks, and when he speaks, he don't have to repeat himself.
That's exactly right.
We got a God now. So we got a world that tries to make a God of their own image. And you know what? That's dangerous. Why? They just make up things about God.
That's right.
You got to get your doctrine from the Bible. Why? Because you got a God that loves you enough to send the Holy Spirit, the servant, down there and say, hey, offer it to him. But they're telling you this old girl right here. He got to telling her about these things, and he gave her some bracelets and stuff like that. And man, later on he come back, and in this story, he told the story, the same thing, what happened between him and her to the family. And you know what? Verse 58. And they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Yes, Lord. You know what? I remember the day when I said, I will. I remember one day, man, a preacher stepped up there, thank God he had a backbone enough to preach on hell, and I was scared. He'd say, you just got saved because you scared. You better believe. You better believe on here. I was scared from the hell, my friend. And guess what? I didn't know a whole lot about the Lord. She didn't know nothing about Him. But guess what happened?
Yeah.
After I got saved, I began to learn about it.
Yeah.
I said, I will go. I hope this morning you say, I will go.
Amen.
I hope you say that. Why? You got a thing in the Bible there. And I'm going to read the verse to you. Luke 23:25, Pilate had two men there, a murderer, Barabbas, and had the Lord Jesus Christ, the master of everything. The one that walked on water, the one that said, let there be light, there was light. The one that said, damn it, I say unto thee, arise, and she arose. The one that said, Lazarus, come forth, and he came forth.
Amen.
He was standing there, two men.
That's right.
You know, Pilate said this about Pilate, and he released unto them, him that for sedition and murder, that's what the world's going to get, the Antichrist one day. sedition and murder was cast into prison whom they had desired. But watch this. But he delivered Jesus to their will. You know what I'm doing to you right now? I'm delivering Jesus to your will.
That's right,
brother. If somebody's in here lost, will you get saved? If you're saved, will you serve him? Why? Because after you're saved, guess what happens? He still gives you a free will. That's how good our Lord is. Why? If you want some rewards in heaven, guess what? You'll serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
These people out here, I had this one guy, he said, you know, I spent 8 years, and I hadn't sinned in 8 years. Well, first of all, you're a liar.
Amen.
Second of all, this world don't have a concept of what sin is.
Right.
You know what the Bible says? The thought of foolishness is sin.
That's right.
You mean tell me in 8 years you hadn't had a foolish thought?
Right.
You mean tell me in 8 years you hadn't overslept?
Right.
You mean tell me in 8 years you hadn't underslept? Man, you better... Hey, I'm telling you something. The Bible says, swear not by the heavens.
Right.
We say, by the stars. People think they don't sin.
That's right.
The Bible says, swear not by the earth. People, we say, my lands. We think we're not even... Y'all, you don't realize you're serving a holy God.
Right.
And our, we have to get our thoughts that will go by the Bible. There's so much things I see, I don't even know I'm sinning.
Right.
There's presumptuous sins. There's sins that you've got you don't even realize you're doing.
Right.
You don't realize. We got to get right with the Lord.
Amen.
It's a daily walk with it. Say to something, Lord, I want to get close to you. Now, your will. You got to use your will to serve Him. Now, another thing too, you'll notice there that there's separation. That text says in verse 51 that the family said, well, go ahead and take her then. We've talked to you about it. Sound like everything's good. Go ahead. And the Bible says she'll go. You know what? She left her family. You know what? Will you leave those things? Will you leave those things that you hold dear for the Lord Jesus Christ? We've got to get to the point where we would leave what we hold dear for the Lord. You know what the philosophy man says now? Man says, show me, Lord, and I'll trust you. You know what the Lord says? The Lord says, trust me, and I'll show you. The thing is, she operated by faith and not by sight. See, there's a picture, there's separation, but also somebody operating by faith and not by sight. Y'all, we've got to realize that what God says is so, and you need to just trust what He says. Today, I wonder what the Lord's telling you to do. And you say, ah, I know. I got to finish the rest of this sermon tonight. Y'all come tonight for part two. But I'm going to say this. Y'all, ain't it a blessing we got that much in the Scripture?
Amen.
Y'all, let me tell you this. We'll say this in closing. Talk about the Lord's Supper. The first time you saw Isaac, the son, in this thing, come and he was offered up. The next time you see him, he's meeting the bride. We got a meeting coming.
Amen.
Here comes the bride. They get that from the Bible.
Amen.
You read the last part of that thing in 61 or something like that right there. Guess what happens there? She puts the veil on. Guess what happens there? She's pure in white. We get all that stuff from the Bible. Guess what? We got a homecoming one day.
Amen.
Y'all, we're looking forward to it. And this thing right here today we're doing, we're looking forward to what Jesus is going to do because of what He did do for us.
Right.
Today, remember that as we take this supper. Let's pray and then we'll have our men come up. Father,